All righty, it's on. Good. Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning on this beautiful Sunday, December morning, the first December and the first Sunday in December. So we do want to welcome you. And we just pray that something we say or do will just help you in your walk with the Lord. You know, that's the main thing. You know, with everything happening in the world today, the main thing is our relationship to Him, to the Father. Our relationship to Him and what He can do in our hearts and in our lives. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 28. I'm not going to read the scripture right now, but I just want you to turn to it. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. In this story that I'm going to read to you, and I hate to say story because sometimes we think of a story that it didn't happen, but this actually is a happening that took place in the Old Testament, talking about Jacob. You know, Jacob, as you read this story, Jacob went through some testing and some things in his life, and God had to show himself unto him. Jacob. Now I just want to give you a little background because, you know, I can throw out that name to you, Jacob, and, you know, we often think, well, okay, Jacob, who is his brother, who is his parents, but I just want to kind of give you a little bit of background about Jacob, who his parents were, who his brother was, and so that you can be familiar with the story. You can be familiar about Jacob and where he comes from. Jacob had a brother named Esau. Now, we probably know the famous story of Jacob and Esau because they were twins. And remember, Jacob was the younger of the twins. Esau was the older brother, and Jacob was the youngest one. And it says that the older one, it says in Scripture, would serve the younger one. And it says that when they came out of the womb, that the hand or whatever took hold of the foot of the older brother, which was Jacob coming out and taking the hand or the foot of the older brother. And it says that from that, the older brother would serve the younger brother. And we can see that in Scripture, how that came about. Because we have to remember, any time that God speaks something or says something in His Word, we can bank on it that it's truth and that it will happen. It will happen like He says it will happen, no matter what. You know, our beliefs as just men and women of God, sometimes our beliefs may change. You know, some things that I believed 10 years ago, I may not believe the same because of the reading of God's Word and understanding it like I should understand it. And as we grow in Christ, our values sometimes change. Our thinking about God changes. What we know about God changes. And so we change. But we know our God never changes. It says that He is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. That what He said was right years ago is right today. What He said was right thousands and thousands of years ago when the Scriptures were written and all that the canon of Scriptures would put together, what He said was right then is right today, no matter what. No matter how society thinks it has evolved into. If it's right back then, it's right today. If it's wrong back then, it's wrong today, no matter what. Now, we sometimes as mankind can put a little twist on it, and we think that we're very intelligent and we can do that, and you know, we can manipulate the scriptures and we can manipulate our own minds and think in certain things. But that's not correct, no matter what. The clarity of the Word of God is the set boundaries to the things that we believe and stand upon. That's it. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what society thinks or says, we should believe about certain things. If the Word of God says it's wrong today, it's wrong. If He says it's right, it's right. God's values never change. It's the same, as I said earlier. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But here we see Jacob and Esau, twin brothers. Their parents were Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac's parents were Abraham and Sarah. So here we see we have Abraham and Sarah. And we know about Abraham and Sarah. God changed their names from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. They had a son, you know, more than one, but the one promised son was Isaac. And then, you know, he married Rebekah. And then we see they had Jacob and Esau. So the lineage comes down. And think God has all things planned. Now, we can look at Jacob and we can see many mistakes that he has made. And we know that. Many mistakes. We could all look at our own lives and see many mistakes. We don't want anybody to point them out. And that's understandable. Who wants somebody to point out you? Nobody wants that. But at least ours, thank God, are not written in a book that's going to be on forever, last on forever and forever. You know, at least ours can be, we can go to God, ask Him for forgiveness, and it's forgotten and, you know, whatever. But these guys here, and these ladies and guys, because it's both, God didn't spare anybody. King David, God didn't spare his wrong. You know, all kinds of things. But here we see Jacob made some mistakes. And we know about the birthright, and we can get into that thing. And he made his brother sell his birthright for a bowl of soup, if you want to put it that way. And his brother was stupid enough to do it. And that's, you know, whatever happens. But here we see that his mother favored Jacob, but his father favored the other son. And that's where things started to happen that wasn't good. And here we see Jacob left because Esau had said he would kill his brother because he had taken the inheritance, if you want to put it that way, or the blessing from him, the firstborn blessing. And it says this, and this is where we're going to pick up, that Jacob was fleeing for his life. Sometimes we flee from God and we run. And we don't realize that we may be fleeing, but God is still right there. Still right there. Because you see, as I said earlier, the Father loves you and me. Now, He may not be pleased with everything in our lives, but He may be pleased with a lot of things in our lives. Because He sees how we strive to please Him and love Him and to honor Him and to bring people to the knowledge of Christ. But here we see Jacob getting to a place where he had to flee for his life. And his mother told him to go and leave. And this is where I want to pick up in Genesis 28. Look at starting with verse 10. And it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he stopped at a certain place and tarried there overnight because the sun was set. That means the sun was coming down, okay? That's all it means. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Now, you might say, well, stop right. He got to this place Beersheba. He's fleeing for his life because he's not sure if his brother's right behind him because of stealing of his birthright. And we know the scenario with that happened with that. Can't go into it, but the scenario of what happened with that. And we see that he is fleeing for his life. He's not sure if his brother is right behind him, few miles away, ready to kill him. We know his brother's angry with him. His brother said he's going to get him. He's going to kill him and destroy him. And we know God chose Jacob to be the one where the lineage of Jesus would come from. We know God chose him. And he's fleeing for his life. And he gets to this place and he's tired. You know, when the pressures of life come your way, it seems like it pulls you from on the inside. You know, when the pressures of life from the outside, it has an effect upon the spirit man on the inside. It does. It has an effect upon the body. It has an effect upon the spirit. It does. But here he gets to this place after fleeing and knowing that his brother's after him. That he's so tired that he gets to this place and he says, I need to rest. And you might say, well, you know, the sun was coming down so he had to rest. No, God knew what was going on. God knows the resting times that we need in him, people. How many times have we come to a place where we didn't know what to do, how to handle a situation? We get to a place and we say, Lord, I'm running, and what's going to happen? And all of a sudden we just stop and say, Lord, what do I do? And he's saying, finally you came to your senses. What do I do? Turning to him. You might say, well, did Jacob turn to him? Well, let me tell you, Jacob must have done something. After walking all those many, many miles, not knowing if his brother was exactly right behind him or not sure. Couldn't see him, but that didn't even look right. He knew something was happening. But getting to the place of Beersheba and not realizing that that was a place where God dwelt. And he's so tired, he sits down, takes some rocks, and uses them as a pillow. And lays his head down. Look, you must really be sleepy and tired to take a rock and say, that's your pillow? That's a hard pillow. But as he's sleeping, the Spirit of the Lord comes in. See, we're in the New Testament church. Is where the Spirit of the Lord is supposed to dwell and where things are supposed to happen, where God moves at will within people's hearts and lives. And look at this. Very interesting. It says this. Look at verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to you will I give it and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now here we see, can you imagine being down and out, and God comes in and encourages the man of God? People, we serve an encouraging God. See, the devil will try to get you discouraged. And he'll try to direct your sight upon everything that's wrong. That's like I've said often, you know, you take a sheet of paper, a white sheet of paper, and you put one little black dot in the middle of it. And you ask somebody, what do they see? I mean, it's all white. But what do they see? The little black dot. And that's all of us. That's all of us. And you see, the enemy will do everything he can to bring discouragement, to say that you're going to fail or fall, to say that there's no use in going on because everything is down and out. Everything is I'm discouraged, Lord. Everything is not good in life anymore. But God is saying to Jacob, look to me. You see, we don't realize that the author of life, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, wants to give life to his people. The author of life wants to give us a purpose to live life. The author of life is trying to give us something to live for. And that living is to live for him. So that we, as a people, as a human being, can bring honor and glory to our God upon the earth. Because that's all people may see of God. A living God living in us, expressing himself through us in the things that we do on his behalf. That's the kind of God that will encourage and help us as we go along. And let me tell you, God knows that every one of us will get discouraged. We will. We might as well lift our hands, huh? And a few feet. Because it's truth. But you see, he didn't say something was wrong if you get discouraged. He said something's wrong if you stay in discouragement. That's the deal. So what we got to do is do like David did. What did David do? The king of kings. He is the king. But the king of Israel. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Encouraged himself. He looked to God and he started worshiping and praising him and honoring him and thanking him for who he is. God knew that Jacob needed this dream. People, God knows what you need in your life. You might say, Lord, you've abandoned me. He has not abandoned you. That's a ploy of the enemy trying to tell you that God doesn't care about you, that God doesn't love you, and that's totally not truth because it's not according to God's word. God says he cares about his people. Let me ask you this. Everybody, whoever has children, you care about your children, don't you? You do what you need to do for your children. How much more does God care about us? How much more does he care about you and I? Praise be unto our God. That he cares so much about us. That he loves us and cares about us. And wants to see himself in us. Living a life of victory as we put our faith in Christ. And what he did at Calvary's cross. The victory that is won at that place. Jacob, my God. He lays down. And look. When he laid his head down, I know we know the story. He didn't know he'd have a dream, by God. He didn't know it. All he knew was that he was tarred, discouraged. He knew he let down God. He destroyed his relationship with his brother. He destroyed his relationship by deceiving his father. He destroyed his relationship with his mother because he probably would never see her again. All that is going through his mind. But God gives him a dream. And God gives him a dream where there is a ladder from the earth, and we know to heaven, and angels are ascending and descending upon the earth. Just coming down, bringing the things that are needed, doing what needs to be done, and going back. But I want to read something here. It says in verse 13, it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. Talking about the ladder. Some versions say, as I read the commentary in my Bible, it says it should have read, "And behold, the Lord stood beside him. Can you imagine that the Lord came and stood beside that ladder? It says when Stephen was stoned, what happened? As they were stoning him, what happened, people? As he looked to the heavens, who stood up? On the right hand of the Father, Jesus stood up. People, when things are happening to us, good or bad, our Father stands up for us. Our Father does battle for us. Look, with him, we always win. We may lose to self because we have a lot of selfishness. Everybody raise your hand. Look, only a small boy back there. Yeah. We do. We have a lot of self. But that takes the Holy Spirit to work in us and take self out and put God, that we live a life pleasing unto him. And it says that as the Father was going up and down, and as the angels were going up and down that ladder, it did something in the spirit of Jacob. It did something on the inside of him. How many times have you felt discouraged? And man, you get up maybe in the middle of the night not knowing what to do. But you know a God that can give you the answer. And so you get up and you say, "Lord, I don't know what to do." And you crack open your Bible and you just start reading and you're saying, "Lord, help me." And all of a sudden, the scripture leaps out at you. Ooh, and it feeds that spirit man on the inside of you. My God, that's the word. It's living. It's alive, people. Why do you think the devil doesn't want you to read the word of God? Because it's alive with the spirit of God. He does not want you to be encouraged. He does not want you to live a life of victory. So he keeps you from it if he can. Because you see, it's the word of God that brings life to God's people. It's the spirit of God and the word of God that breeds life on the inside of us. So he tries to keep us away from the life that gives us life, which we know is Jesus, through the word of God and through his spirit. And so here God takes the time to encourage Jacob. God will take time with you if you give him the time to encourage you, to help you in all your endeavors that God wants you to do. Look at this. Verse 14 again. Well, look at verse 13. I want to read that. I'll read it all. It says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to you will I give it and to your seed." He was miles away from where he had deceived his brother. But God spoke to this man and said, "But I'll give you this land." You know what he was saying? Your brother won't kill you. Your brother won't destroy you. Don't worry about it. I will get things straight. Let me handle it. You've made a mess of things, Jacob, but I can handle this. See, sometimes we think God can't handle certain things. My God, what can't he handle? The God that made the whole universe, the God that made everything in it, and he's running according to plan. The God that made every animal, my God, that he can't handle sometimes the little or big things of our lives? He can. He can and wants to and will if we will trust him. Trust him. And the scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not," what? "On your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. This thing right here. But to trust him by faith, saying, Lord, I believe, I stand forth in what you're going to do in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my church, Lord God. I believe your word, Father, and I stand upon it. Verse 15. And the Lord starts to speak some more. And he says, behold, this blew him away. He says, Jacob, I am with you. Sometimes we think God has forsaken us. Because you know why? We don't feel him sometimes. Well, you know what? As a Christian, we don't walk by feelings. That's hard for the modern church to think about. We don't walk by feelings anymore. We walk by faith in the Son of God. And what he has done for us. You may wake up tomorrow morning and not feel saved. But just because you don't feel saved and filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean it's so. Because we live in the flesh, we may not feel saved. But the Word of God says we're saved. Because we put our faith, our trust in the Word of God and in him. And we know what Jesus did for us. And we trust the Father. Can you imagine those words that console the heart of Jacob as the father looks to Jacob and says, Jacob, I am with you. Can you imagine? Jacob down and out. Now he's starting to, thank you, Lord. You're with me. And look, people, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's with you. You might say, well, Pastor, can I lose my salvation? I think it's hard to lose it, but you can. When you outright reject him, yes, you can, and say you don't want him. But God is with us. And when we try to serve him, he's with us. He's with us in our failures. He's with us in our triumphs. He's with us at all times. That's the kind of God we serve. Jacob. It says, I am with you. And also it says, Jacob, and will keep you in all places where you go. My God. Jacob, and I will bring you again into this land. Jacob, I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. My God, what a verse. My God, what a verse, people. God says he was with Jacob. God says he would come back to that land. My God. He thought he lost it all. But let me tell you, we serve a God that gives hope to his people. Gives hope to his people. Last verse, and I'm about to close. Verse 16. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. When he got to Beersheba, he took that rock and laid on it, and he said, God is not here. When he woke up, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And look, let me tell you this. Surely the Lord is in your lives, wanting to lead and guide each and every one of you. And help you. He says he would never leave us. Hebrews 13, is it verse 5? I think it is. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I think it is, yeah. Can you put it up? Yeah. That's okay. It says, for I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the kind of God we serve, people. Whatever happens in this world, no matter what happens tomorrow, next year, if the Lord tarries 5-10 years, who knows? He will never forsake us. He will be with us. As we look to him, you know what? as we are waiting the return of our Lord and Savior one day. Oh, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. As we're waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior one day, we need to get the job done of telling people about the Lord. That's all. It's not about building ministries. It's not about building self. It's not about promoting anything except promoting our God and who He is. Because when somebody closes their eyes, and I'll just use it for that statement-wise, when somebody closes their eyes for the last time, where will their eyes be open to? Heaven or hell? And the world promotes all kinds of things, saying there are many doors to get to heaven, from self to all kinds of things. But we know that the scripture says that there's only one door, and that's Jesus Christ. And we got to do all that we can to present Him to the people. Presenting that to the people. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, Jesus. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor, Lord God. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. As every head is bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, please. I want to ask you a very important question. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I'm not asking you if your name's on a church roll book or if you belong to a certain church. What I'm asking you is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you have and you're saying, I'm struggling and I need to rededicate my life to Him, would you please just raise your hand? Would you please just, I see your hand back there. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? You can lower your hand. I see your hands. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Anyone else? I see your hand back there. Thank you. Amen. 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 Quite a few people have raised their hands, so let's all pray together as we pray this prayer together, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. And I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that you died for me and I accept what you did. I accept you into my heart and I will live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank you for the ones that raised your hands, because it's not easy sometimes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, guys, look, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and we love you. And I pray you have a great week this week. God bless you and you are dismissed. Amen.